Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Is there any room for optimism today? That may well depend on your definition of optimism. If you see it as looking for a black cat in a dark room, or feeling for a light switch that has been removed, originally connected to a burned-out bulb, I guess there is not much room for optimism. But if you believe there is still a sovereign God, not chance or fate, who's in control of the universe, there is much room for hope. When we look beyond the headlines and read the last chapter, we come to understand that the scope of God's power can be brought to bear on the difficulties of life, whether they are national or very much personal. If God created the world and then went back to heaven somewhere out there and left us to our own destruction, there would be no room for any optimism whatsoever. But if God, who created the world, is interested in the affairs of my life, as the Bible says, then I must understand that the planet of my life is not on a wild collision course with fate. The Bible says simply that God's power can change the hearts and lives of people, and that is one of the reasons that there is a Christian optimism born of faith in God, no matter how dark the storm. The good news is that God never gives up on people. If anyone is in Christ, wrote Paul, he is a new creation. Now, the second reason there is an optimism born of faith is that the Bible declares that God, not chance, is ultimate reality. Nearly 100 years before Enrico Fermi and his colleagues learned how to split the atom, a French scientist wrote in his diary, "The time will come when man will not only split the atom, but the energy of the sun itself will be harnessed. When that time comes, God will come down and say, 'Gentlemen, it is time to close up shop.'" Decades have passed since man first split the atom, and God has not come down and said, "It's time to close up shop." But the Bible says one day he will say, "Enough. Gabriel, blow your trumpet." Then Jesus Christ will return to our earth, even as he came the first time. Christianity contends for the ultimate triumph of God and good in the world, not evil. Friend, no matter how dark the hour, the last chapter in the history of humankind has not yet been written. Reason number three you can have an optimism born of faith is that a believer has a motive first for accepting others as they are, because God has accepted him or her. That means the barriers which separate can be broken down. Some time ago, I sat in a restaurant and listened to a conversation between two men, one a Christian, the other an agnostic. The agnostic was tearing the Christian to shreds for some of the things he believed. The Christian sat there, humble, taking the verbal abuse, not quite sure what to say. Finally, I leaned over and spoke to the agnostic. "Excuse me, sir," I said. "I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. Could I ask you a question, if you don't mind?" "Sure," he replied. "Go ahead." Then, gesturing to the friend, I said, "Suppose this man is wrong, and there is no God, no heaven or hell. What's he lost?" He thought for a moment and said, "Well, I suppose nothing." But then I added, "But suppose he is right. Then what have you lost?" He said, "I never thought of it like that." An agnostic by the name of E.C. M. Jode began to think of it. It changed his life. There is an optimism born of faith.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.